We appreciate our good friend Mike Allen coming in. I have a sore throat, but I still want to introduce Mike and thank him for coming in. He's done this several times now as we've had these types of programs around Christmas time. And Mike, just share, if you would, anything that you've got there with our listeners.
Okay. I've got a couple of stories that I have done before newspaper columns and the like, and so I'll just start off. The first one's called The Travelers. The wind howled that night, and the air felt like ice. Bitter cold had swooped down out of Canada. 2 days before Christmas, and already the snow had begun to fall. I just pulled into a convenient mart for gas when I noticed the old Plymouth on the other side of the pumps, its hood raised. A green garbage bag flapped against the passenger window, or at least where it once was, and the license plate said Tennessee. Outside the car stood a tall, thin man dressed in shabby denim. He stroked the beard of his angular face, then disappeared behind the lifted hood. For a second, he glanced back my way, and I couldn't help but notice his red-rimmed eyes. It was a look I'd seen before, as a kid. It belonged to a weary coal miner once, and the best way I can describe it is gaunt and hopeless, a look of desperation. By the time I finished pumping gas, the handle had almost froze to my glove. "Better check your antifreeze tonight, folks," the man on the radio warned. "You don't want to get caught out in this one." Inside the store, Christmas carols rang out from an overhead speaker. Jingle bells, I think, or maybe Silent Night. The clerk peered out the frosty window like he was eyeing a burglar. "There's still out there, Marge," he said to the lady sauntering in from the stockroom. "I got half a notion to call the tow truck." Marge shook her head. "Well, at least he hasn't bothered anything." "Yeah, not yet." The clerk took my money. "He came in and bought a loaf of bread a few minutes ago, then asked if I owned a set of jumper cables." The clerk shook his head. "He's already hassled three other customers about it, too. I've been watching. I got a hunch about this one. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if his picture wasn't hanging down at the post office. Besides, he's blocked those pumps for over an hour now." I yanked the coat collar up around my neck, and I started back out the door. The wind whipped against my face, and for a second, I felt I might fall backwards. Already a half inch of snow had gathered on the ground. I slid across the frozen asphalt to my car and opened the door. I turned the key. The heater roared. The thin man still stood by his hood. Snow had filled his beard now and even covered most of his toboggan. He rubbed his red hands together and blew on them. The dim light from the pump aisle exposed his eyes again. Blue this time. Steely blue. Slowly he came around to my door and he knocked on the window. I cracked it about an inch. Sir, I don't mean to bother you, but you don't have any jumper cables, do you? His words came out in a breathy cloud of frost that hung in the dark winter air. Well, my mind drifted to what the clerk had said. Picture hanging down at the post office. This guy was a shady character, all right. Yet, there was something in his eyes that didn't register that way. I sighed. Then I opened the door and I undid the latch to my trunk. Pulling out the cables, I said, "Let's see if these will do." He took them, and I jumped back into my car to pull into position. It wasn't until I got ready to clamp the cables onto his battery that I noticed he wasn't alone. Three little kids with big almond eyes stared out at me from the back seat. A little girl in a thin dress, shivering under a red blanket, and two little boys huddled together beneath an oversized sweater. They were all eating slices of bread. A baby nestled in the front, held by a woman whose thin face and matted hair reminded me of pure sorrow. I thought about my own kids, home, safe and warm, probably dreaming under a Christmas tree about what Santa was going to bring. And these poor little things here, eating bread and shivering in the cold. Quickly, I shook my head and retreated to my business with the cables. The thin man jumped back into his car and turned on the key. At first, it sounded like it was going to fire. Then it drugged, draining hope with it, and soon it began to click, click, click. Throwing his leg back out the door, he sighed. "No use, is it?" His shoulders slumped. "I don't understand it. Battery ain't that old." Snow continued to fall. "I thought we might make it there for a while." He pointed to the woman with the baby. "Her folks live in Ohio. They say Dayton Power and Light might be hiring after Christmas. That's why we come. Been on the road 4 days now." He shook his head. "Silly car keeps breaking down." He paused and offered me a forced smile. I'm sorry for your trouble, mister." I nodded. "Oh, no problem." Then, like an icicle falling from a gutter, it hit me. "No, wait," I said. I think I know that sound, that drag and click, and I did. I was used to car trouble. It had a habit of following me around like a sleigh does a reindeer. Now, finally, after all those years, it was about to pay off. Besides, I knew a bad starter solenoid when I heard one. I'd experienced at least three of them in the past 2 years. I'll be right back, I told him. I hurried to my trunk for a screwdriver. Turn your key back on, I said. I'll handle it from this end. As soon as I touched the screwdriver to the two bolts on the solenoid, they crackled. The engine rumbled, heaved, then sputtered like an old asthmatic dog. Quickly, I undid the cables and the engine smoothed. All right, the thin man smiled, and for the first time, so did his wife. I wish I had something to give you for your trouble, mister, he said, offering his cold red hand. Then he turned to one of the little boys. Carl, he said, hand me that steak knife back there by the window. He turned back to me. It come free with a can of coffee we bought in Franklin, and, well, he looked over at his wife, who held the package of bread. It ain't likely we'll need that thing anytime soon. Little boy handed it over, and the thin man offered it to me. I started to say, no, it's okay. Then I realized it was a gift, the only thing he had, so I took it. Thank you, I said. He nodded, and his smile broadened. Daddy, how long till we get there? Carl asked. Not long now, honey, he answered. Thank this feller here. Carl smiled. Merry Christmas, mister, he said. The other two little ones in the back seat chimed in the same. From the front, the baby giggled. Well, Merry Christmas to you too, I said. And I watched as the old Plymouth lumbered down the snow-covered highway. As it disappeared, I gazed up into the sky. The snow was heavy now, offering no shining Christmas light to guide their way to Ohio. Still, I figure maybe 2,000 years ago, the wise men had a cloudy night or two on their travels as well. And to be honest, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if every once in a while, even their vehicles, camel humps and all, probably broke down. I guess that's why each time I open my kitchen drawer and I look at that old worn steak knife, I pray that battered old Plymouth with its garbage bag window found a star it could travel on too. Merry Christmas, Carl, wherever you are.